Chapter 1. Tall Fields. Sweat trickled down the inside of Lucy's suit. Her hot breath fogged up the visor. Her radio crackled again. She clicked it off sharply. The devices were useless inside the fibrous mesh. The earth around her sizzled as a drop of acid splashed down from above.
"God damn it!"
cursed Ruth nearby as she hacked at a teal vine that had ensnared her leg. The land reef's defenses had been activated, making its underbelly a lethal place to be. Dripping tentacles hung like tripwires, dangling vertically from the latticed exoskeleton. Between them, clinging to the dome, were dozens of stomachs, swollen according to the prey being digested. The reef was rapidly consuming the crop field and anything crossing its path. Lucy had made the mistake of suggesting a way to destroy it. Within the hour, she'd been dispatched. As she crawled through the simmering dirt, cursing her loose mouth, raw fear was stealing across her. Her plan wasn't working. The reef moved slowly, like a predatory glacier, keeping it rooted to the ground were dozens of thick stems, each wider than Lucy's legs. From those, the structure sprouted upward and fanned out like the arches of a neo-Gothic cathedral. The vaulted ceiling hovered 3 feet from the ground and spanned half the field. Fresh shoots extended outwards in every direction from the periphery of the reef's ceiling, which had reportedly doubled in size since it had been discovered a week ago. Surrounding it was a vast halo of parchment-dry, barren land that was growing by the day. The exterior of the reef was coated in pink leaves, which resembled the organic tissue of mammalian lungs. Clusters of alveoli contracted and expanded independently of each other as the vast structure breathed. Lucy tried to ignore the tentacles dangling around her as she edged forwards. Some of them had burrowed into the soil below. Bulges the size of golf balls passed up the cords every minute from the ground to the latticed roof above. Each time the creature fed, it made Lucy queasy. Another drop of acid splashed down, this time landing on Lucy's suit. She checked her watch. The material was designed to provide 20 minutes of protection. They'd been in the reef for 18.
"What's the ETA over there?"
called Ruth, checking her own watch as she drew level. "I'm on it," grunted Lucy. Lucy gripped the saw firmly and gritted her teeth. With her other hand, she grabbed one of the reef's thick trunks, which anchored it to the ground. She pressed the saw against it and drew the blades back firmly. After some frantic grinding, it was fully severed. Ruth forced the upper and lower parts of the stem apart. Gen water, the genetic liquid that all D4 organisms fed on, spilled out of the hollow trunk and continued to drip down from the upper section. Immediately, the reef strained to reconnect its severed pieces.
"Keep going,"
urged Ruth as she struggled to keep the sections pressed apart. Lucy grabbed the gas can by her foot and dragged it up to her chest. She shoved it flush against the grounded portion of the stem, then unscrewed the cap.
"Hurry up," grunted Ruth.
Lucy scooped gen water out of the trunk. Through her thick plastic gloves, the liquid felt warm as she hastily ladled it into the gas can. Ruth cursed as the plant snapped back into place.
"Give me the saw,"
she urged, trying to wrestle the thick stem. The flesh was healing before their eyes. Lucy passed the saw over, and Ruth quickly hacked through.
"Now!"
cried Lucy, forcing the sides apart. She grabbed hold of the severed trunk dangling above. The pair of them hauled the tip down into the jerry can. The trunk quivered and shook violently.
"It's not gonna take,"
said Lucy, struggling against the thrashing cord.
"Keep hold,"
insisted Ruth. The plant spasmed, jerking the pair from side to side. Lucy clung on with everything she had, keeping the trunk submerged in the putrid mix, until finally it shuddered still.
"Three down," she panted.
A dull thud sounded from across the dirt, 30 feet away. A gas can lay on its side, leaking into the soil. Above it, the reef was arching upwards in sharp convulsions. A severed stem hung from the latticed ceiling, glistening in its oily black coating of gasoline and gen water. As the plant quivered, it spluttered out globs of the toxic mixture.
"God damn it! I'm on it! You get the fourth one!"
ordered Ruth, as she scrambled towards the malfunction. Lucy hastened away in the opposite direction, dragging the fourth gas can with her as she crawled beneath the sprawling reef. She swerved to the right, narrowly avoiding a lone tentacle. Above it were the dissolving remains of a coyote that had strayed inside the reef. The surrounding cords had reeled the dog in and held it in their grip. Its color was almost entirely gone, leaving behind only a surreal, faded Gen Water form of its body. The only unblemished part of the dog was its lungs. A tentacle had fused with the coyote's bronchioles. The lungs inhaled and exhaled for the plant, while the rest of the dog dissolved around them. Lucy checked her watch as she clawed her way through the dirt. 21 minutes. She hastened forwards toward the final stem and slammed the saw against it. This one was tougher than any of the others. It felt different, too. Drier. Ruth appeared by her side, panting, clutching the explosives. Lucy dropped the saw and prized the freshly carved pieces of stem apart. She leaned back, anticipating a splash of gin water, but none came. She peered inside the rooted portion. Something dark and wet was lurking beneath the soil level. As she dragged the gas can into position, the dangling stem jerked sideways, spitting out a dark lump of gin water onto the ground. Lucy stared at the earthy, brown, gloopy mass. Her eyes widened as it quivered and unfurled. It was the same size as her forearm. Its body was tubular, like a worm's. A nostril peeped open at its tip and sucked in the surrounding air. The slimy creature spun around in its pool of goop. Two yellow eyes blinked open on either side of the creature's head and swiveled to focus upon Lucy. She screamed as the creature's mouth opened like a gannet's. Its jaw had soon expanded to match the size of her shoulders. Its gaping mouth revealed rows of iridescent glands, secreting toxic flecks. Ruth appeared beside Lucy and plunged her knife directly through the creature's neck. Its cavernous mouth deflated. It writhed, pinned to the earth. Ruth turned her attention to the severed trunk. She poured the gas can into the rooted portion, then resealed the two halves.
"Thanks," gasped Lucy.
"Save it," said Ruth as she affixed the detonation cable. Lucy quickly assisted, feeding the cable through from the trail behind them. Her heart froze. All tension in the cable had disappeared.
"We've got a problem,"
said Lucy, clutching the severed cable. Acid had burned clean through it. Ruth swore and checked her watch. She tugged open a pouch on her utility belt and handed Lucy two pebble-sized detonators.
"You know the deal. Haul ass or we're cooked," said Ruth.
Lucy set off for the furthest two stems they'd rigged. She scrambled through the dirt away from the setting pips of Ruth's detonator, dodging the dangling tentacles as she went. She tried not to dwell on the sets of lungs suspended around her as they breathed asynchronously among the swallowing cords.
The first stem was still glugging fuel from its gas can. Lucy hastily affixed a detonator and set off for the second. She felt a draft of cold air sweep across her shin.
Her suit was smoldering. The acid had burned through the exterior. She hurried through the earth to the final stem and thrust the detonator against it. She hit the button and the timer began to count down. But it wasn't the 3 minutes Ruth had briefed her on. The timer only showed 2. Lucy stared at the device in horror. She blinked and shook her head, but the seconds were vanishing before her eyes. Lucy forced her mind back to the briefing. Hold the central button to reset. She pressed it. With a bleep, the timer value dropped from 2 minutes down to 1.
"Ruth!" cried Lucy.
Ruth was 20 feet ahead. She was twitching sharply, trying to cut herself free from two vines which had latched onto her ankle. Lucy raced after her. She drew her knife and slashed the tentacles away.
"Hurry!"
she cried, urging Ruth forwards. The pair scrambled for the gap they'd carved in the reef's side. Lucy followed close on Ruth's heels as they dragged themselves out and sprinted towards the red farm shed opposite. The pair threw themselves behind the metal structure and covered their ears. Hot air rushed past the shed as the first bundle exploded, triggering a chain reaction across the reef. The other fuel-filled arteries swiftly ignited. Chunks of burning reef flesh and flecks of gen water rained down before them. The pair stayed in position until all of the bundles had detonated. Ruth rolled onto her back and swore. Lucy tore off her visor and gloves and let the cool air wash over her. A rumbling truck pulled up before them, and the sergeant climbed out.
"What happened to the damn cable? Do you have any idea how close that was?"
he fumed. "You're welcome," said Lucy, giving him a fatigued thumbs up.
"Get back to base and clean up. Young, there's someone who wants to meet you," said the sergeant.
Lucy kicked her pockmarked hazmat suit to the side and sat on the bench, massaging her temples.
"How about a warning in the future before you decide to cut our escape time in half?" said Ruth.
"Hey, we wouldn't have had a problem if you'd showed me how to use the detonators properly," snapped Lucy.
"I showed you fine, kid. Not my fault if you don't listen," retorted Ruth.
"The numbers! It's like they went one way and then another," said Lucy, burying her face in a grimy hand towel and wiping the sweat from her forehead.
"That makes no sense," said Ruth.
"I know. I'm just telling you how it was, all right?"
"All right, cool it. The mind can do weird things under pressure. Try getting some more sleep," said Ruth.
"Fantastic advice. I'll put in for some annual leave while I'm at it. I think I've got some PTO to carry over from last year."
"Don't be glib. I'm serious. There seems to be a direct correlation between your frame of mind and my ass being on the line."
"I can't sleep. Barely, anyway."
"If you can't switch your brain off, ask the Sarge to get you a medical. They might find you some sleeping pills."
"Oh, sure. I'll just book an appointment with the doctor to get them prescribed. Are you insane?"
"You're right. Stupid suggestion. My bad. No doctors. But that means you need to learn to compartmentalize, or you're gonna lose it out here."
"So you mean bottle it all up?"
"I appreciate that goes against your generation's sensibilities, but there's something to be said for deeply repressing one's emotions during a crisis. It's an old-fashioned soldier's technique called getting really drunk later."
"I feel like I'm betraying Dan's memory. And Lopez, too, if he's even still alive. If I shut those thoughts out, it's like I'm giving up on them, and I'm not ready to do that," said Lucy, welling up.
"You're no good to anyone if you let guilt consume you. Save your energy, kid. People are depending on it,"
said Ruth, pulling on her uniform. Daylight flooded into the tent as the entrance flap was thrown open.
"Do you mind?" said Lucy, squinting. "On your feet, soldiers," said the sergeant.
Lucy and Ruth stepped out into the camp yard where the sergeant stood, waiting beside a new arrival. The woman was around the same height as Lucy, with pale skin and a stylized comb-over of choppy brown hair which dusted her ears with fading blonde highlights.
"This is Captain Ortley," said the sergeant.
"I was a captain once," said Ruth bitterly.
"Me too," grunted Lucy.
"I'm not a captain. I'm a specialist," said the newcomer.
"What? But I was told," began the sergeant.
"Sorry, sergeant. I'm afraid Captain Ortley was killed 2 days ago. A D4 attack in the city. I'm his replacement," said the newcomer.
"A specialist? Replacing a captain? That bodes well," grunted Ruth.
The sergeant's nostrils flared as he digested the unwelcome news.
"Welcome to the camp, specialist. I've no doubt you will step up to the task. You wanted to meet Young?"
said the sergeant. "She's still in the fields," said Lucy.
"Silence!" snapped the sergeant. "Ignore my soldiers' humor. It tends to come out when they're fatigued. They just returned from a poorly executed mission."
"We're fatigued? Sarge, this woman's rank is literally on her uniform. See, it's not just you, Lucy. Do we all look like higher ranks to you, Sarge? If so, I want a new bed."
"Enough!" said the sergeant, rubbing his cheek roughly. "Get it together, or I'll put you both on night watch," he said, glaring at the pair.
"It's a pleasure to meet you both. I'm Karis," said the newcomer, intervening before Ruth could respond. "Lucy, I've heard a lot about your work in D.C. It's nice to finally put a face to a name."
Lucy gave a single upward nod, wary of the many forms her reputation took in the city.
"How are you liking our deluxe spa retreat?"
said Ruth, gesturing to the grubby camp and open fields around them.
"It's quieter than I expected," said Karis.
"The majority of our personnel are on duty. We can only work the fields during daylight," said the sergeant.
"So, what's your deal, Captain?" said Ruth, tugging her bootlaces up firmly.
"I'm here to test crop viability and pest control methods. I'm a botanist. The sample I cultivated at my previous site has just been approved by DC for a bigger rollout, though it's not to everyone's liking.
I already hate it, said Ruth.
How does it work? Said Lucy.
It involves intercropping, planting a D4 wheat variant between normal rows of wheat to control other D4 pests. We think we've found a variant that can coexist alongside terrestrial wheat without destroying it.
You don't sound too sure.
It's a lot of pressure. We only have a handful of viable crop fields left, and people in D.C. are starting to notice their meals are getting smaller.
I haven't noticed anything, said Ruth. That's because you're military. D.C. knows better than to starve the people protecting it, said the sergeant gruffly.
There's another thing, said Karis hesitantly.
Oh, joy,
said Ruth. D.C.'s made a breakthrough against the creatures. They want us to test it, in a location that's safely removed from the civilian population.
Meaning we're the ones who'll get screwed. Ideal,
said Ruth.
What's involved? Said Lucy.
We need to capture a D4 creature.
That's insane. Have you seen what they do to people? Said the sergeant.
What's even the point of that? Said Lucy. That's classified.
So is my participation,
said Ruth.
You'll face a court-martial if you don't cooperate, snapped the sergeant.
I thought you were against the idea, said Ruth.
I'm in favor of anything that keeps you two out of my face for more than 20 minutes. Besides, it's an order from above, so we'll execute it accordingly, said the sergeant.
USA! USA!
Chanted Ruth, snapping to attention sarcastically.
We just need to hold it for 48 hours and run some tests. DC's sending a collection unit or something after that, said Karis.
The kind of mission you're talking about won't work. It can only end in failure and fatalities. Trust me. I've been there, said Lucy.
I'm inclined to agree,
said Ruth, folding her arms. A whining engine hummed in the background, getting louder as it crunched up the dirt path to the camp. The horn blared urgently.
That doesn't sound good, said the sergeant.
The group hurried across the yard to the camp's entrance, where a pickup was speeding towards them. The driver waved a hand through the window, then pounded the horn again. The sergeant raised a hand to halt the vehicle, which skidded to a stop before them. The driver wore a red and cream checkered shirt and dark blue baseball cap. His bearded face was panicked, and he spoke in a garble.
"Come quick! They're trapped! Three of them! In the field!" cried the farmer. "Whoa, Pete, slow down! Trapped how?" said the sergeant.
"I don't know. Some kind of creature. I didn't see. We heard a scream from the field. It sounded like Elkin, so we ran in to help. Then we got separated, and there was more screaming. I said I'd come get backup," said the farmer urgently.
"If any of them are infected, there's nothing we can do," said Lucy bluntly.
"She's right. We'd be risking our lives.
For what?" said Ruth.
"Please, we don't know it's that. I just heard screaming. My wife's in there. Please," he implored.
"Who's on call for this unit?" said Karis.
"All of us. Let's move out," said the sergeant.
"Are you for real?" said Lucy.
"This is non-optional. Our orders are to protect the farm and the workers. Let's go," said the sergeant, grabbing an assault rifle.
"Hurry,"
urged the farmer. He threw the truck door open. Lucy and the sergeant filled up the front bench.
"This is not a good idea, people,"
said Ruth, grabbing a rifle and climbing after Karis into the back row. The pickup hurtled away from the camp and took a sharp right turn onto the deserted highway. As they raced towards the site, the sergeant pressed Pete for details.
"The three of us were doing a soil analysis. Affects what we can grow. We heard a cry from the field next to the compound," said Pete, squeezing the wheel.
"You left the enclosure?" said the sergeant.
"We had to. The cries were coming from the other side," said the farmer.
"What's the enclosure?" said Karis.
"The government put a huge perimeter fence around this site over winter," said the sergeant.
"To keep the beasts out?" said Ruth.
"To keep people out. They thought militias would try to seize the fields, then use food production to extort the government."
The truck swept down a shallow hill and lurched around another corner, leaving the concrete road and heading onto a dirt track.
"So you three left the enclosure to find this Elkin?" said Lucy.
"We ran in to help, but we got separated. Then there was this other scream, then all this commotion. I don't know, I just saw a body and I panicked, all right? I said I'd get help."
You saw a body. Who was it?
Said the sergeant.
I don't know. It was all so quick. I thought maybe it was Elkin. He's been missing, right?
The other two. They still in there?
My wife, Amy, and our friend Johnny. We've got to find them, insisted the farmer.
Who did the second scream come from? Was it your wife or one of the guys?
I don't know, okay? I don't know, cried Pete.
A tall wire mesh fence climbed into view. It was around 30 feet high and barred the road. The lower half was covered in purple ivy, which thinned out towards the top. The vehicular gate was sealed with a thick chain, but the adjacent foot gate was wide open. The curtain of ivy covering it had been shoved aside. Lucy surveyed the electrocution warning signs pinned to the fence.
I'm guessing it's not still alive, said Karis, voicing the same thought.
If it was, I'd be sleeping a lot better. Let's go,
said the sergeant, stepping through the gap in the purple wall. The farmer followed close behind, clutching an axe. Lucy's eyes widened as they crossed the ivy barrier. The field beyond was packed with crops, which showed an astonishing density of growth for the first weeks of spring. The hairs on her legs bristled as a warmth greeted her shins.
How is this possible? Said Lucy.
It's mostly the soil, said Karis, kneeling down and crumbling the dirt between her fingers. It radiates heat up to around 5 foot high. I've seen this type of field before. The plants have leaves low down that trap the heat and moisture. They create their own microclimate.
Can we eat this stuff? It looks like maize, said Ruth.
Lucy surveyed the field. It was a far cry from the orderly monoculture she'd known growing up among her neighbor's farms. The field was a jostling array of terrestrial and D4 plants, all competing for the space and flourishing in the unseasonal warmth. As she walked, something crunched underfoot. It was the husks from several dead insects. She knelt down to inspect. They looked like locusts. Their parchment dry shells were golden brown. She peered closer. The skin around the hollow jaws was flecked with red. A cry sounded from the field.
This way,
called the farmer, pressing ahead and hacking away obtrusive stems and vines that zigzagged across the dense crops. The sergeant gripped his assault rifle and signaled the others to follow.
Stay tight and stick to the path. If I say fall back, get your asses to the truck.
The group crept forwards, single file through the narrow path Pete was clearing as they honed in on the cries for help. Fallen stems crunched underfoot. Something squelched, too, causing Lucy to recoil in disgust. A dead field mouse lay on its back as half a dozen golden locusts dissected its liquefying body. Lucy shuddered and cast her eyes through the thick jungle of plants on either side. Branches crackled loudly to the left. Lucy spun around as a hare zipped across the path, only to disappear in the thick growth beyond. More cries rang out from the crops ahead.
I'm coming! Hang on!
Cried Pete, fiercely slashing his way through the overgrowth. An ensemble of squeaks sounded from the rear as a pack of rats scurried between the soldiers' legs, hurrying from Karis, past Lucy, down the group and into the field beyond. A fluttering, buzzing noise stirred in their wake. Lucy looked behind in horror as the fallen plant stems writhed on the ground. Her eyes darted to the severed crops beneath her feet. The germs of wheat on top of each stem were disintegrating into twitching pods. A wave of dread swept across her as the first sets of wings unfolded.
Oh, hell no,
cried Ruth as the insects took off.
The field, go,
cried Karis, shoving past Lucy and barging Ruth forwards.
The swarm was spiraling towards them and gaining in numbers. Lucy plunged away from the path and into the dense thicket of crops ahead. She batted away tough stems and coarse leaves as she doggedly pursued Karis's retreating figure. They stumbled and sprinted until they fell into a clearing. It was 24 yards across. The soil was black and formed a mound of earth in the center. The surrounding ground was littered with shoots of straw, and the air was cooler. Ruth and the sergeant were nowhere to be seen. Lucy backed up against Karis and the farmer. She gripped her rifle tight and faced the path. It had all but vanished behind them as the jostling greenery rebounded back into place. The buzzing grew louder. With a frenetic chattering of wings, the insects surged through the boundary of crops and into the clearing. Lucy fell to her knees and threw her arms over her head. The swarm engulfed the clearing, sweeping around them in a whirlwind.
In a matter of seconds, the buzzing abated. Lucy peered out between her arms. The insects had landed on the ground and were devouring the straw beneath them. Before Lucy could draw breath, a cry sounded out. It was coming from the mound of earth in the center of the clearing. With their weapons drawn, all three edged around the perimeter of the black soil. Behind the central mound of earth, a body came into view. A man lay face down, curled up, sobbing. His jeans and jacket were torn and stained with black soil. His hair was greasy and matted. His face was obscured by his arms.
"Johnny!" cried the farmer, rushing forwards.
Lucy grabbed him by the arm and pulled him back. Something wasn't right. She held her finger to her lips and pointed to the sheen of sweat across the sobbing man's body. Pete hesitated, transfixed by the sight.
"You there! Show us your face!"
said Karis, raising her rifle. Lucy edged to the side and tossed a stone at the curled man, striking his leg. The man let out a wail and curled up tighter still. She took another pebble and tossed it at the man's head.
"What the hell are you doing?"
hissed Pete as the sobbing man let out a yelp. Lucy restrained the farmer firmly and pointed to the fallen pebble. It glistened in the scattered cloud light. Karis wrenched a tall stalk of maize from the ground and edged herself into position opposite the man's body. Carefully, she extended the long stalk towards the man, then prodded his head hard. The man's head jerked upward and he let out a curdling scream. As he did so, his jaw snapped off from one side and swung down like a flap, altering the pitch of his cry. In the same instant, the mound of black earth beside the man tumbled away as a vast creature sprung from its lair. The creature was something between a snake and a giant centipede, with a long, twisting, armored exterior. Its body rose through the soil and coiled afresh above the ground. The curled figure of the man dissolved as the creature reared upwards and shook the gelatinous mirage off its foremost segment. A starfish-like mouth appeared where the man's chest had been. Lining its pinkish-orange undercarriage were hundreds of writhing, needle-like legs. Clinging to its midriff were two larvae the size of Lucy's torso. Karis dropped the maize stalk and leapt back. The creature surged closer, looming over her, then swept around to face Lucy and the farmer. Without pausing to think, Lucy seized Pete and pushed him behind her. She gripped him firmly with one hand. The creature screeched and reared its head. It lunged from side to side, snapping its thick neck forwards as it tried to reach the farmer. Lucy mirrored its movements, shielding Pete with her body while he wailed in terror.
"Pete! Amy! You guys hear?"
came a cry from the overgrowth. The creature's head snapped around. It froze and let out a desolate, pitiful sobbing sound.
"Are you hurt? Hello?"
called the approaching man. The creature swiveled around in a flash and darted forwards into the thick crops.
"Johnny, run!"
cried the farmer. He wrestled himself free from Lucy and raced after the creature, but Karis intercepted him.
"Are you insane? Get back to the truck," she yelled. "We have to fall back. The others will be doing the same."
Lucy scanned the surrounding plants and spotted a trampled section of shoots sticking out into the clearing.
"This way,"
she said, plunging into the dense growth once more. Insects crackled underfoot as Lucy's group trampled through the tangled maze of greenery.
"Are you sure this is right?"
croaked Pete as they hurried forwards. Lucy kept her eyes glued to the trampled path. A familiar buzzing sound agitated around them as insects rose from the ground. She hurried towards a cluster of light and stumbled out onto the path Pete had hacked apart.
"Hurry," urged Karis.
They sprinted along the pathway, disturbing the false wheat crops as they ran. Fresh clusters of golden-brown insects fell from the plants and hatched in their wake. A crash pricked Lucy's ears. A man tumbled into the pathway, nearly colliding with her. He was bedraggled and wild-eyed.
"Johnny, where's Amy?"
cried Pete.
"She's not with you," said Johnny, aghast.
With a clicking of wings, the golden insects took off from the ground and rose like a tide up to the humans' waists.
"Get to the truck!" barked Karis.
The group sprinted through the pathway as the hatchling insects began to swirl. The wall of purple ivy rose to greet them.
"This way!"
called Lucy, throwing herself through the ivy curtain and out of the field. The others tumbled through immediately after. She slammed the foot gate behind them. The swarm of insects fanned out on either side of the crops, then settled into the pathway to devour more fallen stems. A gunshot rang out from the field, followed by a cry of pain. Lucy leapt onto the roof of the pickup.
"Binoculars!"
she cried, peering above the tide line of ivy through the gaps in the metal mesh. Johnny grabbed a set from the truck and thrust them into her hand. More screams from the field.
"What do you see?"
called Pete anxiously. Lucy's eyes darted to a ripple of movement coursing through the field. The creature suddenly broke through the foliage and reared upwards, stretching several feet clear of the tallest plants. It let out a shuddering screech, then disappeared from view. Lucy watched in amazement as the crops all around it fell flat, forming a circular clearing of freshly trimmed plants. The creature swung its vast, trunk-like body around like a blunt scythe, then reared its head once again. The trampled crops moved, and three humans emerged from the debris, looking dazed and terrified. The creature screeched once again and swung its tail around, knocking over the unknown woman. The tail reeled towards Ruth and the sergeant, who dived in opposite directions. The sergeant leapt back onto his feet. He'd lost his rifle but grabbed his handgun and fired at the creature's thick body. The creature lurched upwards, then swooped down upon the man, swallowing his head whole. The sergeant's legs flailed as the creature lifted him from the ground and shook him violently from side to side until his neck snapped. The creature then bit down harder, severing the sergeant's neck completely. His decapitated body fell limply to the ground, oozing red blood onto the green and gold stalks. The two white larvae clinging to the creature's underside detached and fell to the ground, where they wriggled towards the sergeant's body. The first one there turned against the slower one, fighting it off to secure the corpse for itself. The second larva turned and made a beeline for the fallen woman, who was clutching her broken leg. The centipede creature reared its head once more and took aim for Ruth, but she dived away, dropping a small metal ball in her stead as she disappeared into the surrounding crops. The grenade exploded, sending a fireball across the clearing and igniting the nearest plants.
"What the hell was that?"
cried Pete, distraught. A fresh scream rang out from the field. Lucy refocused her lenses. Ruth was back in the clearing and tearing off her jacket. She knelt down by the unknown woman and thrust the material against her bleeding shoulder. The woman screamed in agony. Several meters away lay her arm, ripped off by the explosion. Pete clambered onto the trunk and grabbed the binoculars from Lucy.
"Amy!"
he cried in horror.
"What is it?"
said Johnny. Pete didn't answer. He leapt off the truck and hurtled through the ivy curtain, repeating his wife's name. Lucy cursed, then sprinted after him back into the field.
"Guys, wait!"
cried Karis, whose voice quickly faded among the thick plant growth. Lucy raced towards the rising smoke. She emerged into the scorched clearing behind Pete. The vast centipede creature lay in pieces. Its scattered, spiny legs twitched slowly as the last impulses drained away from its nervous system. Across the clearing was the first larva. It had been severely burned in the heat wave, but continued to feed on the sergeant's body. Its sibling was nowhere to be seen. Miraculously, the glowing embers at the edge of the clearing were dying down as the plants nearest to them dissolved to gen water, collapsing onto their smoldering neighbors and dousing the flames.
"Amy!"
cried Pete, falling beside his wife. She looked at him with pain and disbelief in her eyes.
"It's gonna be okay, honey. We'll get you out of here,"
said Pete with a tremor in his voice. He took the bundled jacket from Ruth's hands and pressed it harder against his wife's lacerated shoulder. She screamed in pain, then fell limp.
No, stay with me, honey,"
begged the farmer, slapping his wife's face desperately. His hands trembled as he tried to revive her. Ruth sat in a daze, staring at the destruction around her. A sobbing noise rang out from across the field.
"We need to get out of here, fast! Get us back on the path," said Lucy, hauling Ruth to her feet.
"Honey, wake up,"
said Pete, desperately pawing at his wife's cheeks.
"We have to get her back to base, come on,"
urged Lucy. She placed Pete's bloodied hand against the shoulder scruff of his wife's jacket and clenched it tight for him. Lucy assumed the same grip on the other side, and they dragged the unconscious woman into the plant growth, following in Ruth's footsteps as the sound of sobbing rang out from the field behind.
"Oh my God," said Johnny, rushing to meet them as they approached the gate. "Help us get her in the truck,"
grunted Lucy as she dragged the woman clear of the ivy threshold.
"We can't take her back. There's too much blood," said Karis, alarmed.
"We'll figure it out, damn it. Just help us."
Karis grabbed the woman's belt and helped heave her into the truck.
"It's gonna be all right, honey. Just stay with me," said Pete, clutching his wife's hand.
"Drive,"
ordered Lucy. Karis snapped out of her shock and kicked the vehicle into action, spinning them around and hitting the gas.
"This is insane. We're bringing a huge risk into the camp," protested Karis as the speeding truck bounced over the dirt track.
"If there's a chance to save her, we have to take it," said Lucy.
"Those weren't our orders," said Karis.
"To hell with our orders. This is an actual person we're talking about," cried Lucy.
"Are you crazy?" snapped Karis, straining her voice over the engine.
"It's a risk we have to take."
Before Karis could reply, Ruth interrupted from the back. She tapped the rear window twice and signaled them to stop. Lucy looked back at the blood-soaked woman in the cargo bed. Her face looked pale, yet serene. Karis brought the truck to a halt. She and Lucy climbed out to inspect the rear. Pete looked at his wife, shaking his head repeatedly. He moaned as he rocked on his knees and stroked her hair, begging her to open her eyes. Gently, Ruth lifted his hand from his wife's wounded shoulder. She took his hand in hers, looked him in the eye, and shook her head once. The man broke down and rocked over his wife's body, distraught. Ruth slumped back against the side of the truck, biting her lip and blinking away the tears forming over her eyes.
"You know we can't bring the body into camp," said Karis quietly.
Lucy nodded, staring at the woman.
"I'll bury her," croaked Ruth.
"We don't have time to do that, not by sundown.
We need to burn the body anyway, otherwise they'll just use her remains to grow stronger."
"No, you can't. Not my wife,"
begged Pete.
"She's at peace now, Pete. She would understand," said Johnny, gently lifting his friend away from the woman's body.
"We can use some fuel from the gas can," muttered Karis, trying to be discreet.
"I'll do it,"
said Pete, standing up. He nodded his head compulsively while wiping his face with his sleeve.
"You don't have to," said Lucy.
"Yeah, I do. I owe her that. This is all my fault,"
said Pete, choking on his words. Johnny placed a consoling hand on his shoulder, then helped Lucy and Ruth to unload the body as respectfully as they could manage. They lay the woman by the roadside.
"You want to say a prayer?"
said Johnny delicately.
"And say what?"
croaked Pete, standing over his wife's body.
"We'll give you a moment," said Karis, placing the gas can on the ground and stepping away.
Lucy, Ruth, and Johnny peeled away one by one to stand on the other side of the truck. The sound of Pete sobbing was interspersed with Karis's attempts to decontaminate the truck as she wiped down the bloodied cargo bed and the crew's hands. After a moment, Pete returned.
"I couldn't do it. Can one of you?"
he faltered.
"That's okay. I got you,"
said Johnny, sweeping him up in a hug. Ruth gave Lucy a grim nod. She snatched the bloodied rags and the discarded jacket from Karis, then peeled away from the group. The sound of liquid glugging from a bottle soon mingled with Pete's sobs. Lucy tried to distract herself as the fire crackled behind the car. Pete sobbed harder, pushing Johnny away and sinking against the pickup. He clutched his sides in despair. Ruth returned, looking sick to the core. She shoved the gas can into the back of the pickup, then stepped away from the weeping husband.
"It's not a proper fire, so it won't get rid of the whole body. It should cauterize the wound sites, though, so it'll be less of a magnet for other creatures overnight, said Ruth with forced detachment.
We can deal with the leftovers tomorrow. Then we'll revisit the field. The sergeant's body should have degraded by then. We'll need to study the resulting gen water, said Karis.
I get it now. You're a sociopath, said Ruth, laughing coldly and giving Karis an aggressive jab on the shoulder.
Screw you. I'm trying to maximize the data we have so we can kill those things, said Karis, shoving Ruth back. By going back into the field of death? No thanks, said Ruth, squaring up to her. It's a risk worth taking, said Karis, her face just inches from the old sailor's. Cut it out, said Lucy, shoving the pair apart.
Ruth cursed and stormed off several paces while Karis stayed put, fuming, and adjusted her flak jacket. The putrid scent of burning flesh wafted across the roadside. Lucy grimaced as she watched Karis fussing. The woman was taking great care over her vest, briefly revealing a flash of yellow against the black. The padding had felt different to Ruth's. With a sickening realization, Lucy stepped towards the newcomer.
You've been lying to us, she said quietly.
I don't know what you mean, said Karis coldly as she tugged the zipper on her jacket.
How did you do it? Said Lucy, scrutinizing Karis's appearance. She could see no trace of current or former lesions on the woman's skin. She didn't look infected. It had to be something else.
Do what? Said Karis blithely. She made for the pickup, but Lucy grabbed her arm.
You've got protection against the creatures.
I saw it in the field. It could have taken you, but it didn't, said Lucy.
She grabbed Karis's zipper and yanked it down fully, revealing the flak jacket. Two horizontal yellow strips of tape clung to the front. A slight opening revealed a pouch at the top. Lucy seized the jacket and ripped open the top.
What the hell are you doing? Get off! Cried Karis, wrestling Lucy's grip to stop her opening the pouch.
She twisted and hunched, trying to mask her torso.
You're a liar! Cried Lucy. I don't know what you're... Hey! Yelled Karis.
Between the outer layer and the Kevlar lining, Lucy's hands traced over something plastic and squishy. A sickening feeling spread through her stomach.
Tell me the truth, grunted Lucy, prying further.
Back off,
yelled Karis, elbowing Lucy hard in the collarbone. With a cry, Lucy grabbed her field knife and stabbed it into Karis's chest. Karis staggered backwards into the pickup. Blood oozed from her chest. Johnny leapt up in horror.
I knew it, said Lucy defiantly.
Karis cursed angrily as she ripped off the flak jacket. She lowered it to the ground, taking great care to avoid the blood dripping from it, while tilting it up to stop the leak.
Ma'am, you're bleeding real bad, stammered Johnny.
It's not her blood,
said Lucy angrily, pointing her wet blade at Karis.
You could have got me infected, fumed Karis, frantically checking herself over.
Infected with what? Said Johnny.
Great question, Johnny. Why don't you tell the group, Karis? Said Lucy, seething.
Karis kicked the truck angrily, then glared at Lucy.
Fine. It's blood from an infected.
What's an infected?
Said Johnny. When did you last rotate off the farm? Said Karis.
About a month ago.
News travels slow. There's been an outbreak in D.C. A new disease linked to the creatures. We don't know much about it, but it's highly infectious. They're quarantining a lot of people right now. However, the pathology lab recently discovered that the infected seem to have a degree of immunity from the D4 creatures.
Like, they don't get attacked?
Said Johnny.
Not directly.
So you strapped a bag of some infected person's blood on for your own protection?
Said Ruth, stepping up beside Lucy.
Hey, I'm not the monster here. I'm just doing my job.
Did this infected have a name? Did they volunteer their blood, or was it taken from them?
Said Lucy, seething.
I don't know, all right. I'm a botanist, for God's sake. Yesterday I was in D.C. reporting to the Medical Council on the progress of the Northwest Fields. The pathology director told me about some breakthrough in the lab which needed urgent field testing. Harvey gave me this jacket with the bag fitted in it. You think I wanted to be his guinea pig?
You could have refused, said Ruth.
that doesn't go down so well in D.C. right now. A lot of people are refusing stuff. I don't want to get caught up in politics if it means my rations get cut off, said Karis.
So here you are, hiding behind someone else's blood, said Lucy, clenching her fist.
Do you have any idea how many people are getting killed in D.C. right now? The creatures are all over the city. It's way worse than before. The military's being torn apart, and we need a way to protect them. In 8 months of fighting these creatures, this is the first thing we've discovered that might work.
Had it been that long? Lucy couldn't tell anymore. It felt like so much longer, like her life in San Francisco was centuries ago.
So you're cool with just rounding innocent people up and bleeding them dry, said Ruth.
In my last mission, I lost half my team to the creatures. When Harvey offered me a chance of protection, I took it, all right?
And someone else paid the price.
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Did you ask? Said Ruth.
Karis looked away.
So the mission you announced earlier, when you first arrived, you didn't really want us to capture one of the creatures, did you? You wanted to test the jacket. You knew the group would be a target, but that you'd have protection. Did you even expect any of us to make it out alive? Give me one good reason why I shouldn't send you back in there without it. Then you can experience what we just went through, growled Ruth.
Look, I was scared too. I had no guarantee the jacket would even work, protested Karis.
You were confident enough to plot a suicide mission for the rest of us,
Ruth fumed. I'm sorry, okay. I had no idea how Harvey was getting the blood.
You mean you didn't care enough to ask?
How did they even discover the immunity? Said Lucy.
Apparently, it was a fluke. There was a break-in at the lab a few days ago. D4 creatures. When the cleanup team arrived, the only people left standing were the infecteds. And 3 days later, here you are, wearing their blood.
It's not like that, protested Karis. In all their arguing, no one noticed Pete getting up. No one noticed him quietly moving behind the group. No one noticed him slip his hand into Lucy's holster until it was too late.
What the hell? Said Lucy, feeling the sudden tug against her side.
Pete, no!
Cried Johnny as the farmer recoiled backwards, clutching Lucy's pistol.
Take it easy there, friend,
said Ruth, drawing her own pistol and training it on the distraught man. Pete's eyes were filled with tears. His jaw quaked and he dribbled uncontrollably as he raised the pistol to the group.
She's gone,
he stammered weakly.
Pete, don't do this, begged Johnny.
She was everything I had, and I failed her, said Pete, sobbing.
Lucy stared at him numbly. Maybe he should pull the trigger, end it there and then for both of them. It would be nothing less than they deserved. Two failed partners, alone in an unrecognizable world, no longer able to pretend they had hope.
I'm sorry,
said Pete, raising the gun to his head and squeezing the trigger.
No!
Cried Johnny, diving at his friend. He tackled him to the ground, wrestling the gun away, while Pete cried out in despair, appalled to find he was still alive. Johnny tossed the pistol clear as they continued to tussle. Lucy scooped it up and watched. She absently ran her thumb up and down the safety.
It's gonna be okay,
insisted Johnny, repeating his plea until Pete gave up the struggle. Exhausted and despairing, the widowed farmer lay in his friend's arms, sobbing. Lucy stared at the pair as Johnny rocked his friend gently, trying to soothe the rawest of wounds. He refused to give up on Pete. Lucy's mind flashed to Lopez, knowing he was still trapped in D.C., counting on her to save him. She couldn't give up on herself. Not yet. Not while he needed her. The group stood in silence for a moment, processing everything that had just happened. The crackling fire accompanied their meditation, sending wafts of putrid incense across the funeral guests as the dead woman's fat hissed and squeaked as it popped amidst the flames.
Why did you save me? You should have let me die out there. It would have left her alone, don't you see?
Sobbed Pete, staring at Lucy.
What's he talking about?
Said Johnny weakly. Lucy swallowed hard. Yes, Lucy, what is he talking about? Said Karis.
Not now, Karis, said Lucy quietly.
I think now's a great time after you just attacked me with a knife, she said briskly. Maybe it's your turn to share with the group. I'm sure they'd all love to hear how you know so much about infected blood, given that the discovery was made after you were expelled from the lab.
Lucy's lips tightened.
You should have let it take me, sobbed Pete.
Johnny looked from Lucy to Karis imploringly, searching for answers.
When the creature went for Pete, in the field, Lucy threw herself in front of him, said Karis.
You saved him? Said Johnny.
Lucy nodded. A tear formed in her eye as memories of Dan came flooding back. If she could have traded places with him, she'd have given anything in the world. Yet she'd robbed Pete of that chance.
Ask her why she did it, said Karis, glaring at Lucy coldly.
Anyone curious? Ruth?
Please, I already know her deal, grunted Ruth.
Karis blinked, taken aback.
You know she's infected,
she said, staring at the older woman.
And yet we're still friends. Cute, isn't it?
She's one of them infected people?
Said Johnny, pointing at Lucy. Lucy nodded at him, then stared at the ground. She waited for the others to unite against her, to detain her and take her in. She wished they would. Then she could resist. They'd have to kill her. She'd be free from her debt to Lopez, free from all her guilt and pain. They could end it there and then. No more mutations. No more secrets. No more failing those she loved. She closed her eyes and placed a hand over her womb. Someone, surely, would take their chance, put an end to the abhorrence she'd become. A long moment passed before Lucy realized no such relief was coming. She was stuck with her path until someone took it from her. A bitter sense of duty nagged from the depths of her conscience. She couldn't just abandon Lopez or the other infected people in D.C. Whatever she was feeling, they had it worse at the hands of Harvey. With resignation, she opened her eyes and spoke.
Now you know my secret. You can choose to have me arrested and turned into one of those blood jackets, or you can help me.
Hell, said Johnny.
I know the director of pathology. He's a twisted man. Now that he's discovered the protective qualities of infected people's blood, he'll pursue that line of inquiry ruthlessly. His methods entail great suffering. He has to be stopped.
But the defense works. You saw it. We need to make more of it. Give it to soldiers, to regular people.
Even if that means sacrificing infected people like me?
Who said anything about sacrifice?
This isn't like blood donations from the old world, said Lucy. If you take blood from an infected person, you're critically weakening them at a time when their immune system's most stressed. The only subjects Harvey has access to in D.C. are newly infected people. Their bodies are at their most vulnerable. Taking their blood would almost certainly trap them in the hallucinatory phase for as long as Harvey keeps them alive.
How can you be so sure? Said Karis.
Because I used to be part of his team, okay? I know Harvey. I've seen what it's like for someone trapped in his lab. What it does to their mind. Now that Harvey's found a use for infected blood, every infected person the government captures could end up being tortured in this way. I stood by and let it happen once before. I can't let it happen again.
So you're saying, for the sake of a few infected people, we stop protecting our soldiers? We should just roll over and let the D4s win?
There is an alternative, but it comes with a catch. You might have your way after all, Karis. We'll have to capture one of the creatures alive.
She paused and watched the group digest the significance of what she was suggesting. It was a series of expressions she'd seen before. People who know they could die if they proceeded. People who feared they might die if they don't. People with nothing left to lose. And people with everything to lose.
Who's with me? Said Lucy.
Like I have a choice, grunted Ruth.
I'm out, said Johnny. I'm a farmer. I ain't no soldier. I'm grateful for what y'all did for us, but I ain't brave enough to return the favor. Sorry. For what it's worth, y'all did right saving Pete. I know he don't see it that way right now, but I do. We can't help your mission, but we'll keep your secret.
Lucy nodded. I understand. What about you? She added, turning to Karis. Karis looked around the group.
I'm in, she replied anxiously.
Can we trust her?
Said Ruth, eyeing up the botanist.
You can. I swear,
said Karis.
The people in DC can't find out about Lucy, said Ruth.
They won't. I promise you.
All right, then. If we're going to do this, we need to start immediately. Harvey's plans will already be well underway. Johnny and Ruth helped Pete to his feet and guided him to the pickup. He broke down once more as he caught sight of his wife's burning body. Lucy took her place up front beside Karis, who pulled them back onto the road. Lucy felt the burden ahead sink across her shoulders. She thought of Harvey mistreating countless others just as he'd abused Lopez, and anger stirred within her. He had the gall to claim it was in the name of science. Those around him had the conceitedness to pretend they believed him so long as it got them what they wanted. He was getting away with it all, unpunished, and that couldn't be allowed to stand. There was another way, and she was going to prove it. But she knew it wasn't going to be easy. As the pickup rumbled over the abandoned road, Lucy stared into the rearview mirror. She watched the woman's burning body shrink into the distance, and she thought of Dan.